everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the third round of the FA Cup, as we'll be joined by Neil Young, manager of the Mighty Marine. But before that, there is only one place we can start this week's show, and to help walk through what's been another dramatic 24 hours in the world of non-league football, we're joined by Mr. Drama himself. All the way from the non-league world of Cheshire is Andrew Simpson, everyone. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm just relieved you didn't call me the harbinger of doom, because it seems to be on these episodes a lot when we talk about things like this.
It's you and Thomas Fina, back and forth, back and forth. And it feels like we might be coming to a form of crescendo. The statement that's come out on Friday, as we record this bit of the show, the Northern Premier League have... Basically, the season's been suspended till March, but they're recommending now a null and voiding. Where are we, do you think, Simo? It's pretty inevitable, isn't it, given where we are at the moment with the virus and stuff?
It feels that way. There are a couple of kind of procedural steps that that they want to go through before anything's kind of ratified and signed off. I mean, when I read the statement earlier today, it reminded me of my days as a cup reporter covering councils, where they make a recommendation and then everybody has an opportunity to discuss it. And that's what's going to happen next. The FA actually are going to survey clubs and ask them for their thoughts. But as things stand, yeah, the leagues at step three and step four have kind of formulated a recommendation that we should have for a second successive year. We're going to have to scrap the season. It's been presented that, well, firstly, that we're going to have this kind of full and formal consultation. It's something I pointed out on social media this afternoon, which is what we didn't have last year. So we should be positive here. And there's been some indication that they've listened to the criticism that they got last spring and are going to let all clubs, if they want to, feed into the process. And I do think that's a good thing. There does feel, though, very little wriggle room for the clubs. They've been invited to suggest, should they wish, alternative ways in which the season might reach a conclusion. I think what you do is you go down the list of possibilities, and I think now it's a certainty that you rule out that we're going to have the regular home and away season. So as part of their kind of throwing ideas into the mix, it will have to be radical things like splitting the Premier Division or playing each other once, or these sorts of things. And of course, because we don't have a restart date that we can kind of hang our hat on, it makes it very difficult to plan for one of those alternative scenarios as well. So it will be interesting to see if the club, you know, what the mood of the clubs is. And don't forget, you know, we did a show not too long ago where the Northern Premier League had presented a position to clubs and they ended up going in the complete opposite direction. So it's not impossible, but the chance, it feels like the chances of what 60 odd member clubs kind of agreeing around one alternative format feels like a long shot. But I'm just glad, you know, to try and be a little bit positive, I'm just glad they're going to have the opportunity to feed in and let's see what they say. Now, what will happen then is that will give the Northern Premier League a kind of picture of how their members feel. If they all come back, or majority come back and say, yeah, we agree with your recommendation, they will then put that to the FA Council for broader approval. Now, with the conversations I've had today, I do believe that kind of other parts of the National League system are going to do the same exercise. So I was a bit worried that we were going to have this weird fragmentation again that drew a lot of criticism, quite rightly, last year. But I think steps three to six are all going to do this exercise. They're all, the clubs going to have the opportunity to feed in, and there will be, even though the Trident leagues might say, well, this is our proposal, we are going to get everyone being asked at the same time, which again is progress on what we saw last spring. What, of course, it does seem we're going to have is like last time, the National League, the top two tiers of the National League system are probably
I was going to say, though, Simo, because that's kind of changed. Because there's a couple of questions I was going to ask, which were similar to the questions asked you last March, in all fairness. I don't know why the listener's not just listening back to that show. But the difference is that the National League have got themselves in a bit of a pickle here, and it's not necessarily their fault, in the fact they've got halfway through the season and suddenly the rug's been pulled from underneath their feet, it feels like.
Yeah, it's on a bit of a knife edge. Now, kind of on paper, you know, they are this elite competition, have benefited from grant funding from the government to play matches behind closed doors. The first tranche of first 3 months of funding kind of enabled them to start their season. So they're much further on, for example, than we are in the Northern Premier League. However, there's a bit of an impasse there because we're not quite sure what's going to happen with the second round of of funding. They would quite like it to be in the form of grants, but those who've not followed it, there's been a big stink kicked up about how those grants were distributed and kind of the size of grants to different clubs was distributed before Christmas. So there's a big ongoing debate there. But actually, also, I believe it's not guaranteed yet that it will be in the form of grants. And if those clubs are offered loans, they may well turn around and say, well, that's not really viable for us to continue. So yes, they went to the end last year, played their playoffs and had promotion up to the Football League, didn't have relegation down to step three, by the way, and that's looking like it might be a possibility again. However, you're right, it's an important caveat that there is a little bit less certainty that they will carry on compared to last year, because they've got a further distance to go, by the way. So watch this space on that. But as things stand on paper, the National League will carry on. But I think there's probably a couple more twists in their part of the story yet as well.
So the question that it feels deja vu all over again, the question I'm going to ask you, Simo, is there a rush? I remember asking you the same question last March when we decided to null and void. Is there a rush? Do we need to know this side of February, for example?
I don't know. That was something I raised this afternoon in the... I can see why they're starting to think, you know, try and think ahead. It looks like, and it's obviously very, very hard to predict what the government's going to do. And this is a bit of a nightmare for football administrators. But obviously, you've got the noises. You know, we've seen ministers on TV over the past week kind of say, oh, well, the lockdown is to the middle of February as things stand. But, you know, it's very unlikely that we'll lift all restrictions at that point, and then you can maybe restart the season. What is much, much more likely is that even if we don't continue a national lockdown, we'll probably have a very, very gradual return to the tier system. And of course, as we've talked about on this show, that presents problems in itself in that, you know, if you're in tier four, you can't have anybody in the ground. If you're in tier three, without going over the detail of it, it's very difficult for certain clubs to justify hosting matches. So to be fair to the league, I suppose what they're looking at is saying, well, really, until we've kind of got everybody back in tier two, it's very, very difficult to restart the season. Of course, we're having this conversation today against the backdrop of the United Kingdom recording a record number of deaths from COVID-19. So it feels actually that the league might be right here in kind of planning for the worst case scenario, because it ain't going to improve anytime soon. So I think probably not a rush. And of course, and I did say this last time I was on the show, that when you've played so few fixtures, we touched on it, didn't we, that Mikkelova played the most and they're not even anywhere near themselves halfway through their fixture list in the Premier Division. I do think it's easier to make the case for null and void and give clubs that clarity, or some clarity at the very least of, right, this is the position, this is where you need to kind of start planning moving forward. So I think I would hesitate to say that they're rushing this time around. Of course, as well, and we did again touch on this, the precedent is set now. So we have a precedent of a non-league football season being scrapped, and I do think that makes the second time round a little bit easier to sell. It doesn't remove the problems, by the way, and the bee in my bonnet that I have got today is that we were presented last season with, oh, if we scrap it, it makes it easier to plan what's going to happen next season, and that's been proven to be a disastrous kind of premonition. And I do worry that we're going to see in the next few days people saying, okay, if we have to scrap the 2021 season, we can start afresh in 21-22 and we'll get a full season in. And what really worries me is that, and we've seen on the news in the past couple of weeks, again, leading officials that know more about these things than me, warning that winter 2021 will bring another spike of the virus. Admittedly, we'll hopefully be a lot more prepared if people have been vaccinated, et cetera, but there's likely to be some disruption even in the 21-22 season. So be careful of saying this gives us the opportunity to plan better. And that's what I'll be looking for. And I think what lots of supporters and officials and players and managers will be looking for in that, and some have criticised already, should we have gone into the 2021 season without contingencies in place? Because within football, that's what we've done. We've kind of gone, well, let's just see what happens, see how far we get.
And with that regard, I mean, it was disastrous having a null and void for 1 year. For 2 years, I can't even put that into words. But if we don't properly plan for next year, like you say, 3 years, that's cataclysmic, isn't it? I mean, we need a proper, yeah, and the FA needs to do this, a proper flushed out plan that we start a campaign under the proviso of the worst case scenario. That's how we start, not what we'd wish it to be.
I think that's a fair comment. I mean, again, a personal frustration is mine. We kind of saw a lot of soul searching and kind of words last summer of, oh, we need to learn the lessons of this. The National League system needs to come back together. We need to have a think about kind of how this has happened. And absolutely no action was taken. We went into the new season. For those that don't know, we have something called standardised rules now in non-league, which covers all the steps of the National League system and with slight nuances for the National League. And not in any way were they amended in the summer to take account of COVID possibilities. The FA Trophy rules, as we know, and the FA Vars rules were tweaked slightly, but there was nothing in the league rules that was changed. And I think that's where it's so frustrating that kind of it's just been left to its own devices to unfold and let's see what happens. Now, conversations I had with people before the start of the season, they were saying, oh, it's very hard to come together and agree over what the conditions should be. You know, if we play 10 games, this happens. If we play 20 games, that happens. We can't agree around it. I don't think that's good enough. I think we have to go into next season with that laid out. Of course, you're never going to get universal consensus. That's a pipe dream. But you need to have in place so the clubs know where they stand, what they're planning for going into next season. I think you're right. And there's lots of kind of intangible things about, you know, volunteers and players who have got nothing to show for 2 years work or two years preparation, 2 years blood, sweat and emotion. It's very, very hard to kind of keep motivating yourself to come back. And these are quite difficult things to measure. Of course, there's the financial impact as well. We just talked off air about, you know, if the season was to be scratched, what happens to the season ticket money that's already been put into clubs that I've no doubt lots of them have spent because they needed the money to spend on keeping the club running. They'll be pleased to fans to say, oh, you know, it'd be really great if you could write off that money. But can people afford to do that? One thing that also really worries me is how hard is it going to be for clubs to get sponsors next season and go to them and say, oh, come and sponsor us. But over the last 2 years, we haven't finished our season. And a business is going to go, not sure about that. This, again, you kind of draw a line and there's lots of other consequences. And I think that's another thing that I've found very, very frustrating in that for 1920, it was like packaged and boxed off. Oh, well, we'll move all that aside and let's crack on into 2021. And it's unfolded in almost the worst possible way. And we simply can't keep repeating that. We can't keep going, oh, well, let's see what happens next time. You need to have in place a list of contingencies. It's not beyond the wit of man. I have been on the show before comparing it to what's gone in other sports. They've put something in place.
Tell everyone about rugby union. Go on.
No, I'm not going to. I'm just going to say it can be done. And non-league football needs to get its act together and kind of put in place these provisions going into a new season. I didn't think we'd find out whether rugby had done a better job than football this soon, but it's shaping up that way. So there's lots. Are we learning enough? I think we've learned something, like I said in this chat, about consultation and about including clubs in the conversation. So I think we have learned some things. I don't think we've learned all the lessons that we should. And that's what I'm looking for next, because I do believe all the direction of travel is towards scrapping it. I understand why we've reached that point. Not really much resistance from me on that. But it's where we go from here that we can't make those mistakes again.
Well, fingers crossed. Yeah, we get back to normal sometime soon is what I'm crossing my fingers for. But let's park all that, because actually the season has stopped for 99.9% of all NPL clubs at this time, bar one, everyone, and that is Marine. Marine are still going strong. Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, they host Tottenham Hotspur. We'll be hearing from Neil Young in a second, but I've been following Marine's Twitter feed over the last week or so. Lots of stuff going on at the club, not just with Marine, but also with Tottenham as well. I mean, it's actually quite heartwarming, some of the stuff that's been going on between these two clubs in preparation of this fixture. And to hear more, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with one of the committee members at the club. It's a welcome back to the show to Ralph Rands.
Thanks for having me on again, Ben. I have to say, obviously, we're all brimming with pride and excitement, I would say, at this point. It's been a lot of hard work, of course, gone into staging the tie at the MTA, as we all hoped it would be, and it rightfully should be. But yeah, we're all, of course, really excited at this point and looking forward to it.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, in the build-up to this game, there's a lot of things been going on to prepare for this game. The first thing I'd like to talk to you about is the virtual ticket sales. Did you ever think you'd be clocking on for 6,500 tickets sold for this game at any point?
I don't think so. I have to say, the initial idea, I think, was suggested by a Spurs fan. And we had, obviously, once the draw was made and it became clear that fans wouldn't be able to attend, Spurs fans in general, and, of course, other fans in the footballing world, but Spurs fans particularly, were getting in touch asking how they could support us and donate by merchandise as well. And so the decision was taken to launch the scheme. And as you say, we're up to sort of 6,500 now, which is just absolutely incredible and far beyond any of our expectations when it was launched.
I mean, an FA Cup run to the third round, a non-league club would get to that stage, you'd expect them to... It's going to generate a lot of money, especially being on TV. But given the COVID situation, the fact you weren't allowed fans, but that virtual ticket sales there, I mean, that's plugged the gap and more so.
Absolutely. It's more than compensated. I must admit, we've worked hard, obviously, in terms of our commercial side, particularly our CEO, James Leary, and our club president, Dave Thompson, who worked incredibly hard to obviously maximise the opportunity we've earned ourselves through the achievements of the players and the management, of course. But yes, the virtual ticket scheme, in its own right, as you say, on its own merits, Ben, has been an absolute godsend. And again, we just can't thank Spurs supporters in particular, as well as people throughout non-league and the wider footballing world for their support. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. But sadly, there is a flip side to that, and that is the fact there is no crowd going to be in attendance. But that said, you are inviting fans down on Saturday to bring flags and kit out the stadium to make it as big a spectacle as you can without being there.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We did the same thing before the Havant game to add a bit of colour to the occasion, of course. And there'll be a few of us down there tomorrow just doing a bit of tidying and preparation just to make sure the MTA is presented, of course, in front of the cameras on Sunday to hopefully the millions watching on the BBC and around the world in its best light. And yeah, obviously, it's a real shame once again, of course, that fans aren't able to attend this tie as they've not been able to in previous rounds against Havant and at Colchester and at Chester previous to that. But yeah, anything we can do, obviously via social media as well, we've as always tried to be as inclusive as possible of supporters, especially given that they won't be able to attend on the day. But hopefully Sunday's game, of course, will provide a great occasion, a great spectacle, and perhaps a bit of an oasis in what are very difficult times, of course, generally.
Yeah, and when we had the first lockdown, I remember speaking to a member of your community team about all the work that's going on at the club during these difficult times. And obviously, we're now in the third lockdown. That work's continued. And Tottenham, we go back to it, you know, the support they've been offering as a club. You know, Gary Mabbutt doing those videos and stuff. I mean, it's phenomenal what's been the spotlight that's been put on the club and its efforts more generally.
Yeah, it's been heartwarming in a lot of ways just to show how close-knit, in a way, the footballing community really is. You know, as you say, Ben, for the likes of Gary Mabbutt, a Tottenham legend, to show his support. Of course, we've been inundated with media requests and, of course, support from around the MPL, particularly into our media inbox. I've received plenty of messages of support from around the league, which is fantastic. But yes, it really does show just how the ties obviously grab the imagination of the footballing public, and what it really is a once in a lifetime cup tie, and you know, possibly the most romantic tie possibly in the competition's history.
Well, it's certainly up there. I was going to say, I mean, it's been you mentioned, you know, the footballing public. We have to mention Jamie Carragher as well, don't we? And what he's bringing to the table for this game.
Yeah, Jamie Carragher's stepped in. Obviously, we were let down by one of the sponsors we had lined up for the dugout area. But Jamie Carragher, who's been very supportive of the club in recent seasons, often comes to the game, is a sort of fairly frequent visitor to the MTA. And through his foundation, he's very kindly stepped in to bridge that gap. And And once again, it's just if you had another boost in terms, obviously, of our financial sort of progress and maximising revenue from the game itself.
Yeah, and when it comes to publicity more generally, I saw the video of the sat trucks arriving and the TV stuff arriving. BBC One, 5 o'clock on Sunday. Final question, really, Ralph. What's your mood then heading into this, and what's this going to mean for the club? Given, you know, what else is happening with non-league football at the minute? I mean, this is one way to potentially close off the season. That's for sure.
Absolutely, Ben. Obviously, we all hope that, you know, after the terrible news that the NPL has effectively gone into lockdown itself, and we won't be having league football for a good number of weeks now, and it's going to be very difficult to finish the season, of course. But as I said, we hope that this occasion, you know, we hope that people from around the NPL and supporters and clubs, volunteers of other clubs around the league, and our friends, will get right behind us, enjoy the game, hopefully almost as much as we will. In terms of the prospects of the game itself, I've got a fair idea of the kind of team I think Tottenham will put out. And I suppose really, you know, it's unlikely that we will get through, although we have, of course, I've said that before, every round this season, certainly the last few. But I'm certainly hoping, obviously, that our team, Neil Lowell and Gary, will have the team focused, obviously, and prepared for possibly the biggest game of their young lives. We have quite a young squad, and we all hope, obviously, that the lads do themselves justice on the day in front of, as we say, what could be an audience of millions.
Ralph Rands there, committee member at Marine, and as I said, we'll be hearing from Neil Young in a second. But Simo, just to away from the football, you know, people like Gary Mabbott, Jamie Carragher, Dave Fairclough, you know, everyone centred on this fixture, all talking about, you know, how great it is this game's taking place, you know, the great community work that Marine's been doing. I mean, it is, out of all this horribleness, this is a gem that shines bright at the moment, I think.
It gives you a massive lift to see so much of. I mean, can you imagine how excited they are within that club? Whether you're a player, you're an official, you're a supporter. Yes, I know there's that frustration that they can't have the supporters in the ground, and I do feel it's so sorry for them for that. But where I would give it a Marine enormous credit, and also people again in the broader non-league audience, is how they've kind of rallied round still and found ways to either contribute sponsorship, contribute money, contribute love, contribute kind of interest to what's going to happen this weekend.
Simo, and 6,500 virtual tickets sold for this game. They're going to need to build a new away end and knock down those houses at the side of the pitch to fit all those people in, aren't they?
And I just hope that, I mean, obviously, it wasn't to this extent in the competition, but I've reported on a couple of runs where Northwich Victoria went deep into the FA Cup, and I know that kind of some of the commercial opportunities that you're able to call upon for these big one-off games on TV. I just really hope that Marine is still able to kind of maximise that, because, you know, well, that's a big part of the story here is kind of maximising that opportunity. I know they've got different shirt sponsors on the shirt this weekend and things like that, so hopefully they will still be able to come out of the other side of this with the kind of financial and economic rewards that they absolutely deserve for winning as many games as they have done. I know if you're a player or a manager, it's not necessarily about that, but the committee. I mean, I don't know how recently you've been to Marine, Ben, but they've done loads of work on the ground there anyway in the past couple of years, and massively improved the facilities to what already is, for lots of people, one of their favourite away days, no matter which team we're associated with.
It was always my favourite away to broadcast from, because we always used to broadcast from the bus stop on the halfway line. So we were just surrounded by FC fans. It was the only game that me and Swampy would ever commentate on, actually in the mix. And it was
there
always
you go.
Good for that.
Yeah, brilliant. And so, you know, a lot of good work has been done improving the spectator experience there. And, you know, I'm sure they've got ideas of how they can continue to build on that once this game's out of the way. I mean, of course, it is maybe the unthinkable, but it doesn't have to be the last Northern Premier League action of the campaign. But whatever happens, I'm so heartened to have seen how people have rallied round. And we've said on the show before, I think Mark said last time I was on as well, and I totally endorse it, that lots of people feel a soft spot for Marine because of how they go about their business, how they conduct themselves, how they treat guests when we all go there with our respective teams. And I think there's an enormous groundswell of goodwill towards them that they're enjoying this moment in the spotlight. And it's going to be brilliant. It is an absolute beacon of light relief, yes, amongst the other things we've discussed, and I'm all for that.
Absolutely. Right, let's talk about footballing matters then, and Marine hosting Tottenham. Can Neil Young overcome the special one?
The special one.
Enough about Neil Young. Let's talk about Neil Young, and let's talk to Neil Young. And on Saturday morning, I caught up with the man himself ahead of this big game in the FA Cup. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us, and well, a happy new year to you. The day's nearly upon us, and how's this week been? I'm imagining it's been pretty manic.
It's been manic, you know, to say the least. We've had lots of interviews to do, lots of photographs, footage, you know, different people wanting, you know, different sorts of interviews. So yeah, it's been manic. As I say, it's probably been up 30, 40, you know, various interviews and podcasts, etc. But as I said to the, you know, we've said in internally in the club, you know, we embrace it. We take it all in, obviously, and we look forward to the game on Sunday.
Now, for preparations for this game then, I mean, how have you taken to this? Because, you know, Tottenham Hotspur, one of the biggest clubs in the country, you know, a manager of international calibre. How do you prepare for this? I mean, it's a bit different to the interviews we've done in the past where, you know, you're playing a Northwest Step 4 division side. It's going to be very, very challenging.
It is. You know, it's off the scale in terms of the game, the nature of the game and the opponents. But you've just got to try and do your best in terms of analysis. People talk about chinks in their armour. Well, it's not so much about that. I think it's more making sure that we're set up correctly or as best we can to negate them the best we can. And that's what we've been working on. It's been a little bit disrupted, obviously, due to the weather, due to the COVID regulations. And you know, most non-league clubs either train on the ground or train in leisure centres. Well, our ground's currently under pitch covers, obviously, for the frost, and leisure centres have been closed. So it's not been easy. You know, we've had help, you know, from Liverpool and Everton, which we're very grateful for. But yeah, in terms of Tottenham and the analysis of it, we've done a lot of work to give our lads the best opportunity once the game comes around.
We had Ralph Rans on earlier talking about, you know, how you know, people like Jamie Carragher and Liverpool football community have come together to support Marine. And what you've touched upon there, I mean, you must be blown away by the reaction to this game and, you know, the support that's been out there.
Absolutely blown away, you know, both locally, domestically, in the UK, and then further afield in the world, really. You know, we've got a lot of local support, as you just mentioned, from Jamie Carragher and Liverpool, Everton, and the local community of Marine, etc. But, you know, you only have to look at what the Tottenham supporters have done for us as a club at Marine. It's been phenomenal, you know, and we're very grateful for what they've done in terms of the ticket sales, buying merchandise, setting up GoFundMe pages. You know, it's been quite humbling, really. Obviously, their supporter base, and a little bit of ours as well, is across the world, and that's been supported across the world. So a little bit, as I say, a humbling experience, very grateful, very thankful, and obviously, you know, we're looking forward now to putting it all together for Sunday at 5 o'clock.
Now, with regards to, you know, how you're planning this game and that kind of thing, in the last 24 hours or so, Marine's announced the signing of David Lynch on loan. I think that shows where we are with COVID and that you could sign a fellow manager from the league. I mean, David Lynch is a cracky player, turning into a cracky manager as well with what he's achieved at Clitheroe this season. I mean, what's your thinking behind that loan signing?
Well, David's obviously somebody I took, you know, from Clitheroe, I think, to Walsingham when he had my short spell there. You know, I know what he's about. He's a professional, professional, good lad, as you said, very good footballer. He's won the National League North. You know, and obviously with COVID rules and regulations and testing, etc., our last test was going to be right on the deadline for signing players. And obviously the rules now around 14 players, and you haven't got 14 players, you've potentially got to forfeit the game. I made an inquiry to Clitheroe because, as I say, you know, then you've got to find players who are non-contract and not played in the FA Cup. And also are going to fulfil a role. You don't just want to bring somebody in for a number. I've obviously got a relationship with Clitheroe, got a relationship with Carl Garner at Clitheroe and David. You know, we've swapped texts and talked. He's obviously starting his managerial career off as you say, doing a fantastic job. So that's how that's come around. You know, we're very grateful for Clivero for allowing it to happen. It's a bit unprecedented, as you say. But at this moment in time, you know, it's a very strange world, particularly from a football perspective.
No, I think it's a masterstroke, actually. And obviously, when it comes to the actual playing squad more generally, because of COVID, there's not been that many competitive games, to say the least. So how have you been keeping them active? I mean, you mentioned the challenges with regards to facilities, but more generally, how have they been keeping?
So we obviously played on Boxing Day. We've not played a competitive game since. Obviously, we're due to play Prescott Cables on New Year's Day, but that was called off once the lockdown restrictions were put in place. So we've basically been training. As I say, we've been moved around a lot. We're very grateful also to Vauxhall Motors, who opened their venue for us to be able to train last week. And then Everton done the same on Thursday, and Liverpool are doing the same on Saturday. So it's just a normal Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for us. That's where we are. That's all we can do. We're part-time, as you know. But we'll be ready. Obviously, as I said before, the task is as big as it comes. But we'll be giving everything we have, like we have done in all the other rounds.
And final question, Neil. Obviously, we've got what is it? Close to 6,500 virtual tickets sold for this game, thanks to Marine fans, the non-league community, and Tottenham Hotspur, obviously as well. I mean, superb. It's going to be live on the BBC. It's going to be across the world as well. It's a big occasion, this one, isn't it? I mean, what's your final thoughts?
It's a massive occasion, and I think with lockdown as well, and it being Sunday at 5 o'clock, you know, it's captured the imagination of not just the UK, but the world in general. And I think, you know, I'm seeing that many people are looking to watch this game across the world. It's great for our football club, you know, great for non-league football, you know, out there, that the FA Cup is alive and kicking. You know, we're playing a Premier League club, Tottenham Hotspur, are coming to our little place at Marine. We'll make it as hospitable as possible for them away from the pitch, but we've got to make it as difficult as we possibly can on the pitch. And as I say, we're looking forward to that, and hopefully we'll do ourselves justice on Sunday.
Neil Young there, manager of Marine. Simo, final thoughts, really? Can they do it?
Well, you never know fully in football. I suppose, you know, whatever level you play at, you always want to go out and think that everything is possible. Let's be realistic. It's probably unlikely, but it is a massive culture shock for Spurs. I don't know if you've ever been inside the dressing rooms at Marina. It's going to be like nothing else that any of their players, I think, have been used to. So it will be interesting to see kind of how they adapt. You know, and of course, I do expect Spurs to go through. But I think what we'd just like to see is Marina do themselves justice. And can't ask any more of that, and kind of just, I can't imagine what it's going to be like for the players going to bed on Saturday night. I wouldn't sleep a wink. I mean, it's just being part of something like that. I hope they kind of, within their own way, just kind of eke every moment of joy and happiness out of being part of something like that, because it will very likely never happen again to those lads. So I just hope that they get the very most from it, and let's see what happens on the day.
And I think James is going. I think he's going. I hope he is. Now I've said it out loud. What we might do,
so.
I've just come up with this idea now. So might be a rough idea, a bit rough around the edges. But I think next week's show is going to be me talking to James at the ground. I think that would work. Getting his reactions
yes.
to stuff. That would work, because he's going to be on his own. So yeah, let's do that. That'll be next week's show. Talking about Marine going through to the fourth round. And, of course, we'll have reaction to the fourth round draw. That's taking place on Monday. Simo, job well done, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's obviously going to be another interesting week next week in the world of non-league football, and the week after that, and the week after that, I'm sure. So how could people follow you on Twitter for your non-league musings from the world of Cheshire?
Yeah, at @Simo_on_sport. I'm sure this will be a point of debate. And it was, you know, despite lots of different point of views, it was a brilliant source of debate last year. It's a shame we're not talking about the footy, but it's great that people are engaged and people are passionate about it. And I would always encourage that, whether you think I talk a lot of rubbish or not.
You don't. I'm not having that as an ending. Simo, you're a fountain of knowledge and wisdom. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you. And we'll be catching up again very, very soon. Take care.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
And a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us on this week's show. And that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you as well to Neil and Ralph from Marine for joining us this week as well. A big good luck to Marine on Sunday afternoon, and we'll have all the reaction on next week's show. A big good luck as well to Basford United's youth team. Their match against West Brom in the FA Youth Cup will be taking place on Tuesday, and we'll have reaction to that game on next week's show. And of course, we'll be previewing that big match in the FA Trophy between Stamford and Hereford. But in the meantime, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all stay safe. Bye-bye.